I'd like to start off with just a simple observation. Attention follows interest. Like a child at Christmas time, or a bridegroom catching first sight of the bride, or as a witness of a night sky overtaken by a cloudless full moon. You see, rapt attention gives way to its interest. As a Star Wars fan of The Force Awakens with unblinking devotion, or as one coming in from the outdoors to an open oven door featuring a butter basted turkey 30 minutes before Thanksgiving dinner. Or as a student, when learning is so fascinating that it just picks us up and takes us with it. A simple observation this morning. Attention follows interest. Now, wouldn't this be wonderful if this were our ongoing experience on the Bible? Just captivated attention to the Bible. Or wouldn't this be really pleasing if we had mesmerized interest in Jesus that creates this absorbed attention upon Jesus? You see, many in this room, that's a heart cry for us, isn't it? And yet, it's my experience that by and large, we don't sustain that. We don't sustain that between the first coming and the second coming of Jesus. We live, beloved, in a war zone. A war zone in which the church lives, and it is occupied by delightful diversions, difficult distractions, and deceiving demons. Our attention span is short, and our interests are divided. And we hear Jesus say these words, "Pay attention to what you hear." Now, this morning's message is a continuation of our series in the Gospel according to Mark. Last week, Pastor Tim took us through chapter 3, and we saw a large crowd around Jesus, and yet there were mixed responses to Jesus, wasn't there? They had attention, but was it on Jesus or something infinitely less than Jesus himself? In Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 34, Jesus teaches the crowds about the character of the kingdom of God, and he talks about how God has taken the initiative to come down on earth and invade it like a seed entering into soil. The coming one God has sent to be among people, the long-awaited Messiah, the King, who will reign as God over his people and his creation. This coming one is none other than Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, who rules over his people by holding sway over their interests, evidenced in how they listen to him. His people are interested in obeying him. This, beloved, is the kingdom of God. But there's a problem, isn't there? In Jesus' day and today, this expectation, it's just not what people expect the king or the Messiah to be. Political power, he does not express. He's not overly impressive to look at. He's not kingly. His regal power and majestic presence were hidden from first sight. He actually came somewhat like a secret that can only be heard if you get close. I mean really close and listen to him. In this passage, Jesus teaches three parables of the secret of the kingdom of God. Now, this morning, we're only going to have time to expound one of the three, but this one on which we're going to focus our attention is key to understanding all the parables. The theme today is quite simple to detect. Repetition always gives way to theme, doesn't it? So, for example, in verse 3, we're going to hear, listen. Verse 9, we hear, let him hear. Verse 20, we see, hears the word and accepts it. Verse 23, let him hear. And then in verse 24, pay attention to what you hear. Paying attention to Jesus and his word are central to understanding what is going on in the chapter we're about to hear. The message today might be summarized like this. Pay attention to the parables of the kingdom because there are perils outside the kingdom. Let's take a listen to see whether or not this is so. If you have your Bibles, open them to Mark chapter 4. And I'm just going to simply read this passage. 34 verses. Here we are, verse 1. Again, he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him so that he got into the boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teaching, he said to them, listen. A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell on thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, to you it has been given the secret of the kingdom, but for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see, but not perceive. They may indeed hear, but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky soil, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, and they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then when tribulation or persecution arises on the account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. Ah, but those who are sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. And he said to them, does a lamp come in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because harvest has come. And he said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all seeds on the earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. Well, we see in verses 1 and 2, we come to the setting of the parables. See that? The crowds are gathering around Jesus. Jesus will tell them a parable of the importance of hearing and accepting God's word and the dangers if you don't. And then in verses 3 through 9, we have Jesus using a common experience of the day to communicate something about the kingdom. We have a farmer sowing the seed. We have four types of soils on which the seed fell. We have a variety of results with respect to the seed. And then we have Jesus ending the parable by saying, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Well, what did he mean by that? Is there hearing that doesn't hear? Is there seeing that doesn't see? Can people hear words and yet not listen to them? Parents, don't comment. What is necessary for hearing and understanding parables? Well, we have the purpose of the parables, don't we? In verses 10 through 12, the disciples ask him, well, why do you speak in parables? And Jesus gives them an answer. At the center of this paragraph is the focus of Jesus' answer. Notice that Jesus quotes Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. These verses highlight in 700 BC the Israelites' root problem of their day. They had hard hearts. Jesus sees in his day the same issue and applies it to the disciples' question about the parables. The crowd, by and large, had dull hearts. They gathered around Jesus hoping for something, but they just couldn't understand him. And because they would not carefully listen to the words, they could not see who he truly was, namely the Messiah who had come to bring salvation to God's people. The reason Jesus told parables was to hide the truth from those who did not want to hear the truth and bow to Jesus as the Messiah. These people were hoping for a different type of king, one who provides swift deliverance from the earthly evils and the enemies. God's plan of redemption was entirely different from their desires. Consequently, when they heard Jesus speak in parables, their attention went elsewhere because they were just not altogether interested. They simply did not understand. And you know something? That was okay. Let's take a quick step back and just define. What's a parable? We could probably come up with some highly complex technical definition, and they're out there and they have some function there. It's good to read that. But just suffice it to say that it's kind of like an earthly story that stands for and points to a spiritual reality. Yeah? So you enter into this story and you look around and you're not just a spectator, but you become a participant. And as you move closer and closer, something opens up. The shades just open wide and you look through, and there are the realities of the reality. And you feel it, you see it, you embrace it. That's a parable. Or maybe this illustration will help. Parables are like the tough outer skin of a sweet and juicy orange. And it's keeping the fruit for the diligent, but keeping it away from the apathetic. Do you guys like oranges? I love oranges. Sometimes there's some going away. There's sometimes it's very impatient. I am. And I look at that and I go, I want an apple. And because I just want to chomp. But this orange, you have to diligently pull back tough stuff that's encasing this juicy morsel of an orange. That's a parable. If you don't get close and there's not diligent concentration, study, prayer, meditation, cogitation, open up. I've got to have some. It's kept away from you. Unlike the hard-hearted crowd who were apathetic toward understanding, the disciples were blessed by God. Their attention followed their interest, and their interest was in Jesus Christ. You can see that in verse 11. And when they did not understand something, well, they diligently sought it out from Jesus, as seen in verses 10 and 34. So, what's the explanation of the parable? Here in verses 13 through 20, Jesus, as it were, comes onto the platform and he's going to say, okay, I am going to take this crowd and I'm going to explain the parable to you. What does all this mean? Here's Jesus' explanation of his own parable. Jesus explains the parable like this. He wants us to see three elements within the story, and then he wants us to see three environments in the story. And so the elements, we have a sower, we have seed, and then we have soils. This is the plot. First, we see in each scenario that here's the sower. Now, oddly enough, Jesus doesn't identify the sower, does he? He just said there's a sower. Now, if we're reading Mark, we go see chapter 1, and certainly we see Jesus out there proclaiming the kingdom. He's the sower of this seed. I get that. And in chapter 2 and 3, he's the proclaimer, and people around him are starting to be sent and starting to talk and so forth. But he doesn't identify it because that's not the point. The point is not about preaching. The point is about hearing. The point is not about casting this out to you. The point is about catching what is cast out to you. So he doesn't identify the sower. Second, in the story, we see the seed. He identifies the seed in verse 14 as simply the word. It's the message of the realm and the rule of the king. It is the word of God. It is the gospel that is going forth into all the world. The third element in the story, we see soils. Now, here's where we get the action. The variable in the parable is the types of soils. It is seen as either hard or shallow or thorn-infested or fertile. The kinds of soils represent the kinds of hearts and responses people have toward the message of the Bible. And the only soil that he commands is the fourth and final one, verse 20, the good soil. It is the only one that produces fruit, 30, 60, 100-fold. Well, now let's shift on over to environment. There's three of them. The environment we see is quite dangerous, isn't it? He describes it as devouring, scorching, and choking. Jesus unfolds the analogy by saying that there is an enemy of Christ's kingdom, Satan, verse 15. He yearns to devour the message of the kingdom and take it away from our attention. And Jesus makes plain that when the Bible is preached, it is preached within enemy territory. According to this explanation, those who hear the word but do not understand, and frankly, it's okay. Guy was kind of boring, used some big words from time to time. I don't want to talk. Just doesn't really care. Well, this is experiencing a devastating effect of the enemy. Sometime back, I was with an elderly lady at a nursing home, and she said, "May we go outside?" And I said, "Certainly." And so we took the brakes off, and out we went. It was a beautiful day. I put the brakes back on exactly where she wanted it. I sat down next to her, and then she proceeded to pull out a bag of seed. And her bony fingers went into this bag of seed, and she threw out seed. Now, have you ever done that before? You know, that's kind of common stuff, but I haven't done that in years. So I'm sitting next to this elderly lady, and I kid you not, out of nowhere comes 43 birds. And they just go, and I'm going, wow, and she's just smiling at me. Out comes some more. That's the imagery here. That's what happens when you read the Bible. That's what happens when you come in on Sunday morning and someone is preaching the Bible. Bony finger, nothing particularly attractive about the preacher, grabs word and sows it. Dangerous territory that we see. Now, this devastating effect has a range. It can appear simply as understanding with no desire for explanation. You know, when you kind of leave in the morning and you go, "What was the message about?" "I don't know." "Any follow-up?" "No." "No follow-up?" "I don't know, and who cares?" There's another devastating effect that appears as obedience to Christ is too hard in this situation. And devastating effect can also look like being so overwhelmed by the cares and desires for wealth that you just simply stop. The only soil that is much admired is the one who hears the word, understands it, and obeys with endurance. Hearts and lives change when the hearts are fertile and receive the word preached and desire to apply and to obey. Well, let's wrap this message up by looking at application. For you see, so far, all we've hung out on is observation and interpretation. Let's step in and do just a little principalizing and applying to us this morning. We've seen that in this parable, it's about hearing the word. We've noticed that to hear the word in an obeying way, God must give the desire and ability to do so. This desire and ability to understand the Bible in a heart-changing, life-guiding way is seen in the context of spiritual warfare. Much is at stake each time we open up the Bible, whether it's to read or hear. There is a prowling enemy, and there is much temptation in this present realm and rule of Christ, the realm in which you and I live. And so I want you to ask yourself a question, maybe not out loud, but just in your heart, ask a question: what does all this mean to me? What does this expose where I'm at in my relationship to God? How does this apply to my life, to the life of the chapel? How's that going to happen? Well, to press this message upon our hearts, the big idea keeps coming to the surface. Pay attention to the parables of the kingdom because there are perils outside the kingdom, such as peril number one, apathy to understanding. Notice 15, notice 20. In part, this parable is about understanding, the necessity to understand. It's about accepting the word that causes the heart to go soft and turn and repent of sin and find great forgiveness of sin, verse 12. So as I thought about this emphasis, I began to see why the disciples came to Jesus in verse 10 and verse 34 to ask for explanation. The disciples, according to verse 11, were given a desire and an ability to understand. And the proof of that was given in the fact that they cared about truth. They went to Jesus for questions. They queried the king, "I need insight." So he said, "Here, let me peel the orange for you." We are told to take care over how we listen to and obey the Bible. The warning we are to hear applies to us. When we listen to a message preached and have no idea of what the preacher was talking about, and no big sense of, "I need explanation, I need help, I need prayer," you are in danger. It's not anything superficial here. We are in enemy territory. The devouring devil wants to see ignorance in congregations. He wants to see ignorance in people. And so he's going to snatch it as best he can. Remember, pay attention to the parables of the kingdom because there are perils outside the kingdom, such as, number two, craving for comfort. Second peril we come across in this parable is described as hearing the word but not persevering through difficulties. Now again, it's couched in spiritual warfare. Jesus talks about why this person fails to endure. He falls away due to difficulties brought on because of obeying the word. So as I thought a little bit on this application, it occurred to me that Mark is writing in the first century at Rome. If you know a little bit about the Roman Empire, they could care less if you worshiped Jesus. This is a pantheon. Take your pick. Whatever God you want to serve and worship, that's fine, provided you are a good citizen, provided you are participating in the peace of the Roman Empire. Well, Roman Empire did not believe that Jesus was resurrected, ascended, glorified, sent the Holy Spirit, church born, church moves. They didn't believe that stuff. But what would happen if the Christians took the word of God to heart and really desired to live out Christ's present kingdom on earth? Well, read about it. There's much persecution that took place as a result of the word of God. I believe that we are to pay attention to the parables of the kingdom because there are perils outside, such as peril number two, a craving for comfort. If we, beloved, are so preoccupied with safety and well-being and with popularity and with acceptance, to the extent that we don't show people at work, at school, at home, in our neighborhoods, wherever we are, that we have an enthusiastic interest over Jesus Christ, we are in danger of being seared scorching heat from Satan. We are in danger of falling away. The third and final danger, which we need to be aware, is seen in number three. The cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, have a choking effect on someone listening to the Bible preached. Now, interestingly, Jesus talked about these two characteristics together earlier in his teaching. You'll find it in Matthew. You'll find it in the Sermon on the Mount. And he brings those two together by talking about a love for money and fretting over the future. This is the way Jesus connects these two ideas. And so it appears to me that he's talking about one thing here. And that is, when we serve money, we think that it will secure our future. And as a result, we despise God, desire money, then get anxious over our future funds. Kind of how it works. On the other hand, when we serve God and rest knowing that he will care for our future, well then as a result, we are devoted to God, we desire obedience to him, and then be at peace with our future. This leads me to conclude that soil number four is all about the fretting over the future, because our devotion is misplaced off of God onto the deceitfulness of riches. So if we are to be on our guard over how to listen and how to obey the Bible, we must be aware of peril number three, fretting over the future. As we leave today, here is a question that I would like for you to echo in your heart throughout the day. What's got my attention? Do I pay close attention to a study? I study it. I watch it. I play it. I talk about it. I'm devoted to it. I can't stop thinking about it. What's got my attention? For you see, that will lead you to your interest. Attention follows interest. Does Jesus got your attention? Has your heart been given the desire and ability to pay attention to him? You know you have a heart like this when you listen to a message like this and say, Jesus is the secret of the kingdom. Jesus gives clarity to the word. Jesus gives forgiveness of my sins and life everlasting. Jesus is the one who produces through me abundance of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness. Jesus is my life. Jesus steers me from the perils of the enemy. Jesus protects. Jesus provides. Jesus is my salvation. If, on the other hand, you have listened to this message or messages through John or through your life, and you just simply say, I don't get it. I don't really care to get it. I just want eternal life. I just want, you know, my sins taken care of or something. And you notice that you fret over the next hour, the next day, the next decade. Who's going to take care of me? How am I going to do this? And you fret, 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 fret. And maybe a verse a day. Beloved, do you have that gift of verse 11 that grants you an ear to hear and a desire to come really close to Jesus and listen to him? Please, please do not leave this auditorium this morning if you have a sensation like that in your heart, like, I don't know. Come talk with elders, other people, people next to you, saying, please explain this. Please let's talk. Please let's pray, because I'm nervous about this. pay attention to the parables of the kingdom, because there are perils all over this world. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you again for your word preserved down through the ages that brought it up to this present moment, opened up, put forward, and by the unction of the Spirit, won't you grant grace, grant life, grant peace, grant serenity, grant a risk-taking desire for Jesus. Oh, do your work, I pray. In Christ's precious and holy name, we ask it. Amen.